I'm going to get right into the message. I have been stewing on this message all week and gestating on it, as one preacher said, and got up this morning and added some to it, to your, you know, dislike maybe later at the end of it. I won't preach too long. But, you know, in the New York Harbor, there's a statue that stands, and all those that make their way into that harbor, and particularly those that go to Ellis Island, they see this statue standing there. It's a little over 300 feet from ground level to the top of the torch, and it has a great meaning. It stands for liberty, and it is the Statue of Liberty. We call her Lady Liberty. It's very important to our nation. It's a very important relic. In 1886, it was brought here. And, you know, it's just a very important monument. But the thing about it, as beautiful it is and as meaningful as it is, there's one thing you got to remember about Lady Liberty. She is hollow. She's empty. It is a statue. It is a monument. But as she stands there, there is nothing inside. Now, as I'm thinking about the heart. I told a couple people, we were kidding around yesterday about a couple issues that I might preach on, and I told them then, I said, I'm preaching on the heart. Now, when Lady Liberty, you know, she's over 200 years old, and so lately there's been some scaffolding around her, and there's been some repairs going on, but there's really nothing to repair inside. All of the work that goes into repairing it is pretty much done from the scaffolding on the outside. You know, as I thought about that, I thought, you know, that might describe some people that are here today. And let me explain that. See, you might feel like Lady Liberty, you're just kind of empty today. No heart. She has no heart. Now, you know, the heart is very important, right? I mean, physiologically, that's what makes us tick, so to speak, no pun intended. I mean, you know, we have some organs that we can live without, right? I mean, if you get appendicitis, they cut it out. If your spleen's not working properly, they can remove your spleen. If you have gallstones and, you know, you have a lot of problem with your gallbladder, they can go in there and, you know, they used to cut you wide open. Now they just make about three little holes and pull that thing out, right? And you know, your liver, I'm told that they can cut part of your liver off and it'll regenerate itself. And on some organs, we have two and we can live with one. Why, you could have a lung removed and survive with one. I used to work with a guy who had one lung. He had lung cancer and they removed it and he got out and worked every day. If you have a bad kidney, why, they could remove a kidney and you can survive on one. But when it comes to your heart, boy, when that thing stops, you're a goner, right? The heart is very important. As a matter of fact, the heart separates the living from the dead. Did you know that? Yeah. And you know, when someone is called to an emergency, when them paramedics come in, you know how they check to see if you're alive, right? They get down, they lay down, and see if your chest is moving, right? Is that what they do? No. You know, they don't grab a mirror and stick it up under your nose to see if it fogs up. They don't jab a needle in you to see if you respond. What they do is they take their fingers and they put it right here, they put it right there, and they find out if you have a pulse. And if you do not have a pulse, you are no longer among the living. You cannot live without your heart. Either it's working or it's not. But you know, there is a lot of conditions to people's heart. And I don't know if you realize it, or I don't know if you've ever thought about how much the Word of God talks about the heart. It is all over the Word of God. Woo! Some shorty put that down there on me. It's all over. And interestingly enough, when the Bible talks about the heart in the Old Testament and it talks about heart in the New Testament, did you know that it means the same thing? It's called reflective. It's called, you know, mirrored meaning. It means when God says heart in the old, in Genesis or in Revelation or anywhere in between, it always means the same thing. It always means inside of us. Now, sometimes physically, We have to go to the heart doctor, right? Sometimes you'll maybe be fatigued. Brother Gibb, he's with us this morning. Glad to see Brother Gibb out Friday morning. The last time I seen him, he was laying on a table, and they were fixing to go in and put some stents in. He had a heart problem. He went to the heart doctor. You go to the heart doctor, they'll do an EKG. They'll run some tests. They'll tell you, well, you might need to take some medication. You might need to have a stent. You might need whatever. But when you go to the heart doctor, you're going because there could be something wrong in here. And you know why? You know why the Lord speaks so much about our hearts? Because what God is interested in more than anything in our lives, what He wants to know is, how is it in here? How is it in here? That's what God is more concerned with than anything. Now, you know, the heart is a happening place. We've already established that physiologically, that you're either with us or not, based on if your heart is beating or not. But also, it is a happening place emotionally and spiritually. And by the way, because it is a happening place spiritually, it is where the devil in our heart will constantly supply the opposition and the stress and the pushback and all the attacks and all the temptations. Amen. Comes to what's inside of us. It comes through our eyes, our ears. That's where those temptations and battles come to. The heart is a place of conscious decision making. It is a place of spiritual activity. I've already said that. The term is comprehensive. Now listen to this. It is comprehensive for our personality, our desires, our passions, our thoughts, our understanding, and our will. That's all contained. When God talks about the heart, He is essentially talking about the real you. The authentic you. That is really, I mean, think about it. It is where the heart is, where we would say is where we deliberate. It is where we decide. When someone is in a service and the Holy Spirit is working on them, that Holy Spirit is speaking to them in their conscience and down inside who they are. And the decision to follow Christ or any other decision is always made from the inside. Amen. In the heart. Amen. Now, since it is the place God is most interested in, and by the way, that is illustrated all through the Bible. I want to read you a couple of verses in Jeremiah 31. Verse 31, he says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." Listen to this. The Lord says, "I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." So you see, even during the law, even in the Old Testament, what God was really interested in, He had a written set of rules. He had a, you know, do's and don'ts. And by the way, the Ten Commandments are still in effect. But more than that, God wants it to be done and to be obeyed and to be looked at as needful from what's inside of us. That's where God searches us. Jeremiah 17:10, He says this, "I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins," or we might say, "I examine your mind." He looks inside of us. Now, there's a verse that I preached on from Psalm 139 a couple Sundays ago. On Sunday night, I preached from the whole Psalm, and I ended it with the two verses, verse 23 and 24. And verse 23 of Psalm 139 is what I consider a great verse. And David says this. He says, "Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." What God wants from us, now listen to me, what God wants from us, and this is not easy, is transparency. See, it's hard to be transparent with sometimes it's hard to be real transparent with your spouse. It's hard, you know, to just open yourself up and say, "Lord, just take a look, and how am I doing, right? How's my heart? Is it where you want it to be, right? Is it where you want it to be? Now, here's the thing. Now, and let me speak from personal experience. Here's what I do. And I think a lot of people, and matter of fact, I think even Paul started out that way. But, you know, when God wants to search our hearts, you know what we do, what I do, let me speak from my point. I think I try to distract the Lord. You see, it's hard to say, Lord, just cut me open and do some exploration, you know, spiritually. And so what I do is I do this. I say, Lord, now, you know, while you're searching, remember this, that I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor, Lord. I study. I try to keep up on my prayer life. Lord, I've led people to you in salvation. You know, help disciple them. I have counseled people while we hatch them and patch them and match them and dispatch them here. I mean, we do everything that a pastor in a church ought to do. And Lord, you know, I've studied with the school, got all my work done for my degree. I mean, Lord, really, if you're going to search, how about taking all that into consideration? You know what the Lord tells me? I'm not impressed. I mean, that's what Paul said, you know, in Philippians 3. Paul said, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, born of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees. Concerning the law, I was righteous, blameless under the law. But you know what he said? All those things that were gained to me, I counted them like rubbish. Because the only thing that matters, in Philippians 3:10 says, is that I know him. And you see, that comes from inside. It comes from inside. It doesn't come from a list of rules. It comes from a transparent heart and a heart that is dedicated to the Lord. See, so when you say, Lord, search me, try me, take a look, how am I doing? And then you try to distract him with your resume. He says, I'm not impressed. What I'm interested in is, how is it in there? How is it in there? I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he, you know, he was talking to the Pharisees in Matthew 23. And in one of those woes that he pronounces, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You're like whited sepulchers, which is a grave. I mean, they would literally, you know, whitewash them and clean them and, you know, put flowers, all those ones. He says, you are like whited, painted, whitewashed sepulchers, but inside, in here, you're full of dead man's bones. You're not even alive. See, like the Statue of Liberty, we can have an empty heart. An empty heart. Here's what I think. See, sometimes I think our hearts can get empty maybe quicker than we think. And for some, maybe you're not there, but you know, it could be that you're, you know, you've been going through some battles and maybe it's some physical problems. Maybe it's some financial problems. You know, maybe it's marriage problems. And sometimes, you know, life can be hard, amen? But I'm glad God is still good. Sometimes life can deal people a rough thing, you know, with sickness and the treatments and the follow-up and all those things that go into that. And sometimes going through that kind of thing, I can imagine. I'm always praying for folks that I know are going through that. God, pour grace into them. God, give them strength. God, help them to keep strong faith through this. Because I think it's easy in those times to become empty. But you know what? Sometimes it's because of bad choices. And the consequences, are you listening? The consequences of those bad choices bring situations in our lives that tend to empty us and make us just feel like there's nothing inside. And you know what we do in those times a lot of times? We go back to the resume, or we like the Statue of Liberty, we roll out the scaffolding. Are you listening? We roll out the scaffolding, and we try to patch it up with a new leaf, or we try to patch it up with a new car, or we try to patch it up with a new house, or we try to patch it up with a new look, or whatever we can come up with. We try to patch up the outside, but the inside is where the problem is. How is it in there? That's what God wants to know. You see, When there's a void in your life, you can pile in everything this world has to offer. You can have the biggest bank account, and you can have the best looking house on the block, and you can have, I don't care what it is, listen, it will wear off, and at the end of the day, you'll still have that void inside of you. How is it? In there. That's what God's interested in. Empty hearts need filled. Empty hearts need filled. Some people not only have empty hearts, they have broken hearts. Broken hearts. You ever had a broken heart? Yeah. I got a broken heart when I was in fifth grade. The first time I asked her to go steady, Sandy didn't want to go steady with me. It broke my heart. I still got a scar. But I chased her down until I got her. Think about it. You know, I thought about the woman at the well. And I thought, man, there's a lady that has not only an empty heart, but she's got a broken heart. You want to know why? Because she has tried everything. Matter of fact, when she met Christ at the well, you know, he begins to talk to her and they begin to have a conversation. And he says, go call your husband. Isn't that just terrible how the Lord knows exactly what needs to be said? Oh, preacher, somebody been talking to you? No, just the Lord. He knows where you're at and he knows what you need. And so he said, go call your husband. She says, well, I don't have a husband. And he says, well, you've made confession here because you're right. You've actually had five and you're living with a man right now. I could go with that, but I'll just move on because we're talking about empty and broken hearts. She was empty. She tried. She tried everything and everything that she could grasp in this life. She had five husbands. She was living with a guy. She's trying to fill the void, and yet she's empty and she's broken. But finally, she met this man. Think about David, you Bible readers. Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 30? David and his, I think it was 600 mighty men, they come back to Ziklag. That's where their city was. They come back to Ziklag. Up here, come on, listen. Come back to Ziklag, and they find their village pillaged, burned, and everything taken. Meaning, not only their goods, but their wives and their children. You know what the Bible says in chapter 30 of 1 Samuel? That David and his men wept until they had no more strength to weep. We talk about brokenhearted. That's brokenhearted, right? Think about Martha. Her brother died. And Jesus come walking up and she runs out there. And you know what she was? She was mad at him. Why? Because she was broken. Lord, if you'd have been here. Well, I don't know. That took a lot of backbone to scold Jesus, didn't it? If you'd have been here, he would not have died. That's exactly what she did. She scolded Jesus. But he gave her some reassurance. You see, she was broken. A broken heart. Maybe that's something you're dealing with today. Maybe you've lost someone recently and your heart is broke. Maybe you've been going through some things and you've just gotten empty. You know, they're all, those all, the commonality of that broken heart, they share. But you know what they also share? They also share the remedy. Because, you know, think about it. The woman at the well, she had five husbands, living with a guy that wasn't her husband. But yet when she left there that day, you know what she was saying? Oh, finally I've met the man. Oh, listen, I met one. Thank God, I want you to come and meet him. Because he gave me something none of the others could. He gave me something that patched up inside here. The greatest heart specialist of them all, Jesus, fixed her heart. David and his men wept, but you know what it says? That they encouraged themselves in the Lord. See, when they were brokenhearted, they turned to God. Martha, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and life. Your brother's going to live again. You see, they also have the healing. And you see, empty hearts need filled. Broken hearts need mended. And then there's what we might call, not might call, that we're going to call. Now listen to this. A degenerate heart. Degenerate heart. You want to know why the headlines read like they do? Because people are born with a degenerate heart. Not physically. Do you doubt that? You know, Jeremiah 17:9, God said this, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Now, I want to ask you something. This past week, did it shock you when you know, early in the week, I heard this report come out and said, there's what do they call it when they're looking for a child? One of them, Amber Alert out for a five-year-old girl, that Asian girl that had come up missing. And so you're thinking, oh, Lord, please let them find that girl. I hope she'll be okay. And then, was it the next day? Then they come out and they start talking about her own mother bashed her head in and her own dad trying to cover it up. Does that surprise you anymore? You know why? You know why you read those headlines? Because we live in a society that is filled with hearts that are degenerate. Right? You know, then they come out and they say, well, you know, she was going to be deported. She was an illegal alien. Let me tell you something. The fact that she was an illegal alien was not the problem. The fact that she had a degenerate heart was. That's the problem. The heart. I remember some years ago before Sister Haven died, she had gone to the doctor. I think she was going to the drugstore to get some medicine. Now, if many of you know sweet Sister Haven, right? Frail, white-headed, soft-spoken, little, you know, you would, and this is my description, little old lady. Sweetest person you'll ever meet in your life. And so some degenerate heart knocks her down and takes her purse. And I went over there to visit her after that, and she had cuts and bruises, and she was, you know, sore and everything. And I thought to myself, how could anyone do that to her? Degenerate heart. The heart is desperately wicked. Jesus said it like this. In Mark 7, he said, That which comes out of a man makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly. That, folks, is what people are capable of. And can I tell you that but for the grace of God, that could be us? Matter of fact, there are a couple on that list I still struggle with. Don't look at me like that. Folly, arrogance, slander, envy. Hey, we're still in the flesh and we still need to keep it under subjection. How is it in there? How's your heart? I mean, a degenerate heart, I mean, it's capable. But for the grace, but for the cross, but for the blood of Jesus, but for His grace and His mercy that He showed to me, who knows what we would be capable of outside of the ark of His grace and saving knowledge. Empty hearts need filled. Broken hearts need mend. Degenerate hearts need regenerated. But then there's a divided heart. You see, a divided heart is a heart that is being pulled from two different directions. You ever been there? Oh, listen, we live in this world and sometimes there's some tugging going on the other side. But listen, we can always overcome, but a divided heart doesn't know where to stand. But let me remind you today that there is no gray area when it comes to spiritual, being right with God, a spiritual walk with the Lord. There is either in or out. There's only two teams to play for, amen? It's true. You're either on the Lord's side or you're not. And a divided heart is being pulled in two different directions. And a divided heart will never experience the fullness of God and never experience victory like God wants you to have it. And can I tell you that when you feed the other person, when you're constantly allowing food for the flesh to come in and make the other person strong, it will drag you down. Divided heart. Listen, a divided heart is what Demas had when Paul said, he's forsaken me having loved this present world. A divided heart is what Lot's wife had when they come out of Sodom, but she looked back. She was being pulled in both directions.
A divided heart is what prodigal had when he saw what he all he had at father's house, but yet the world kept tugging at his heart. And so it was divided. James says it like this in James 1:8, that a double-minded person are unstable in all their ways. Divided hearts are defeated hearts. And you know what divided hearts become? Distant hearts. Listen to me now. I'm almost done. I want you to listen. This is important. Because I want this is for all of us. See, distant hearts are hearts that are not where they used to be. Just remember Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. How is it in there? Distant hearts once enjoyed worshiping God. Distant hearts once enjoyed church. Distant hearts once maybe raised a hand and shouted, maybe used to sing, maybe used to do something for the Lord in a class or something like that, but now they have gotten away from where they used to be and they no longer are close to God. And you know what distant hearts always are is lukewarm. They're like the Laodicean church. You know, that was a divided church that became distant. The Lord said, I wish you were either hot or cold, but you're just somewhere in the middle, and so you're just lukewarm. Distant hearts. Let God look at you this morning. How is it in there? Are you where you ought to be with the Lord? You know, this is an important time. Sunday morning, to me, from 11:30 to 12 are the most important minutes of my week. That'll be in yours too. I mean, I love the singing, don't get me wrong. Man, that set the table. And I love preaching when the Sword family get done. Because they just put some balm of Gilead on and we can just preach it. But the preaching of the Word helps us reflect. Because God is interested in what's going on in here. Distant hearts. Let me give you another one, then I'm going to close with the closing one. Distracted hearts. You know, It's funny. When you're preaching, you know, I'm looking at your faces, and you'll hear me say every now and then, "Hey, up here." I mean, I'm not trying to be some kind of dictator or something. But you know, I believe, and I've been sitting there listening to preaching many times. It's easy to get distracted when the preacher's preaching. Come on. Oh yeah, some of you've been thinking about, I wonder what we're gonna have for lunch now. Let me see. Right? Did I turn that off before I left? I think that light's burned out. Right? It's easy to get distracted. You know, Jesus tells a parable, and he tells about the seed that falls among the thorns, and it starts to grow, but so do the thorns and the thistles, and as this seed grows, the thorns and the thistles begin to choke the life out of this. It did good for a brief moment, but then it gets choked out. And they said, "Lord, what does this mean?" He says, "Those thorns and thistles stand for the cares and riches of this life." Boy, you know what? Distractions in this life. You know, the devil does not have to get you in the gutter. All he's got to do is get you distracted. It's true. And there's so much. And you know what distracted hearts need? Reprioritize. Because a lot of times we get so bogged down by things that aren't really all that important. We just need to kind of get back and reprioritize. What can I tell you that, you know, as important as school is and important as, you know, all the sports for your kids and all that. And I've been there. I'm not telling you nothing that I didn't have to deal with. I dealt with it. My son played baseball for every team in Brook Park, I think. You know, basketball, football. We've been there. I've been all over, you know, states with that. But you know what? The most important time, in my estimation, the most important time that he ever spent was in church. Was in Wednesday night youth group and Sunday school. That is just as important as anything your kids will ever do. Don't lose sight of that. Don't lose track of that. Your kids need this. Listen, we're in this not just for us. We're in this perpetually. We want our kids to serve the Lord. We want them to know Christ. It's important what we do here. This is the greatest work in the world, what we do here. Divided hearts, distracted hearts. Well, here's the end. Let's get a song. Delivered heart. There's only one that can deliver us from any of these conditions that we might encounter. You know what I thought of? You ever had a radiator leak? You know, when you have a radiator leak, you don't, you know, if you're a home fixer-upper guy, you know, you don't get on there and put a piece of duct tape on your radiator leak, right? You can't fix it from the outside. You know what you do? And while you do it, you pray that it works. You buy one of them stop leak cans, and you know where you put it? On the inside. That which is the problem gets fixed from the inside. How is it in there? How is it in there? Let God look at you. Are you empty today? Are you broken? Are you divided? Are you distracted? I mean, all those conditions, distant. There's only one deliverer. His name is Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Not religion, not a priesthood on earth. He's our high priest. Only Christ. Only Christ. He's the deliverer. How is it in there? As God does a spiritual EKG on you. How is it in there? Father, we love you. Thank you for this time to worship, for the singing, for the word of God, so powerful, Lord. Thank you that you have called me to be honored to deliver your word. Lord, may it find fruitful hearts today. May it find receptive hearts today. And may it find minds that are willing to make the application in our own lives, Father. Preaching that is good makes application in our lives. May we do this today. Not just words, but actions. Speak to us, Father. There might be some empty hearts here today. There might be some broken hearts. There might be some distant hearts, distracted hearts, divided hearts. Lord, today you are the deliverer of all hearts. Touch us, we pray. Amen.